Well, this morning, I don't think that I'm going to be preaching about the Avengers. And I cannot help it. They were on the week, they were on the news, and the release of the new movie was this week in Singapore. So Endgame fans queue for hours for cinema tickets. You know, they pay from £11 up to £340 just to see the movie. They were waiting for the movie. They were desperate. And they were saying, oh, they are a little bit over the top. Then I realized that when I was checking in America, it's worse. And then in Latin America, the movie is still not there. And they are crying because they need tickets. And they have a countdown. Now I think it's about 12 days for the release. And they say, oh, it's coming. You know, they are waiting for that. Wow. Now, let's not be harsh on them. And when I was a child, I have my hero. And anyone can recognize that one? anyone? I want to see if I am the only one. What is that? Now, who do you think that is? Oh, I cannot believe it. 60s, 70s, any guess? No, almost there. Huh? No, okay. Okay, so I'm a little bit weird. I was looking for my friend. This was my hero. He's a Japanese hero. And every Friday, 4 o'clock, with my friends, I was 10, 11, 12, I was looking forward to watch Ultra 7. No? Okay, yeah. Oh, well, we will not go there. Today, we are going to check something very important, the triumphant entry. Are you looking forward to that? You know, the triumphal entry, the entry of the king, more important than the Avengers, more important than Ultra 7. Okay. My friends, they're going to believe. I was hoping that one person will say, I know that. Well, the triumphal entry is, you know, in Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 44, and that this passage contains the first events of Christ's final week on this planet. It's known as the triumphal entry, but we are going to see that it is anything but triumphal. And the entry of Jesus was colored by what Jesus did, by what he wanted. It was colored by what the crowd did and by what they wanted. So I'm going to read a couple of verses before we continue. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. And verse 41 and 42 says, as he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, have only known on this day what will bring you peace, but now is hidden from your eyes. If you, even you, have only known. Let us pray. Maybe one person, you want to lead us in prayer. Let us pray. As I read, that may the Lord help us to receive what he has prepared. One person, please lead us in prayer. Amen. Thank you. Now, we said that, let's see Jesus and the crowds, and then we are going to see about ourselves. So Jesus, let's see what Jesus did. In Luke chapter 19, verses 28 to 35, tell us about what Jesus did. First of all, verse 28 says, shall we read together verse 28? After Jesus. The context of this passage is a parable. The parable of the 10 minas. In this parable, Jesus has been explaining this parable. And after this, he did something. And this parable is about a nobleman who went to a faraway land to be crowned king. And as he was leaving, he gave 10 minas to 10 servants and told them to invest it for him while he was gone. Now, the parable tells us about three of these servants. If you read that, what they did with their money and how the master rewarded them when he returned as a king. Now, this is the parable that Jesus has been sharing. And he said, after he has said this, He went up to Jerusalem. Now, it's more likely that perhaps the disciples knew that every time Jesus was sharing a parable, he was trying to tell something. So maybe they said, well, we are going up to Jerusalem, the capital city, the royal city, the holy city. He is going to be crowned as a king. But Jesus, he continues in verse 29, say, as he approached Bethage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives. Now, I love the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Maybe you didn't notice, but I have been preaching from the book of Luke, because Luke tried to put everything in chronological order, and everything has a meaning if you pay attention. Now, is a coincidence that he mentioned these 2-3 names there? Well, let me tell you that the word Bethage means house of unripe figs, and the word Bethany means house of many figs. Now, is that coincidence? No way. Because in the Bible, the fig tree was always representative of God's blessings on Israel when they were obedient. You check the Old Testament in 1 Kings and Hosea and Isaiah, and you will see that the Lord says, when he used the picture of a fig tree, it's a blessing upon Israel when they are obedient, when they were obedient. Now, one of the verses says, each man having his own vine when they have been obedient, and his own fig tree. So Jesus just told this parable and how he wants his servants to be productive while he is away. Now Luke mentioned Bethage means house of unripe figs, Bethany, house of many figs. The question is, what is it that Jesus is going to find in Jerusalem? Many figs? If you check the other Gospels, Mark and Matthew, there is another parable, there's another event. You remember Jesus was walking, and one morning he's hungry, and when he comes upon a what? A fig tree has no fruit. What happened? He cursed that fig tree. So when they came back later, what happened with that fig tree? Poor fig tree has withered and died. Interesting, isn't it? Just before that, and again the fig tree. Now, somebody said, well, it was no season for figs. But this is a sign what he wanted to find in Jerusalem. Did he find it? No. So now, verse 29. Let's read. Somebody said that it's good for us to read the word of God. We're going to read it together. You know, verses 29 to 30. This is what Jesus did. Shall we read together? As he approached, the fact that this donkey, that this colt, has never been even, you know, reading makes it especially for sacred purposes. Now, another thing that we need to notice here is that he is borrowing this donkey. And that was something not atypical. That was something that will happen. If a royal emissary, an important person, will visit Bangor, for example, it was an honor, if you have a horse, that this person will ride on this. But usually they will look for the best horse to ride, to be reading, you know, because that says this person is important, he is powerful, but Jesus does, he did the opposite. He chose a donkey. You like my donkey? That he's just the donkey. Now, the donkey or colt was just the opposite. He shows humility and peace. Christ didn't want to enter into Jerusalem riding a horse, you know, driving a chariot. And he did not want to wear a crown on the first entry. He didn't want to carry a sword. It's important because Jesus is saying, I come to bring peace. I come to build, not to destroy. I come to create. I come not to condemn, but to save you. So the donkey gives this symbol of what he wants to do. Now the multitudes recognize a claim, but they did not recognize what Jesus was trying to tell them. So what is it that they did? Well, what is it that the crowds did? Well, they responded, somehow they responded in adoration. The following verse says, as he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. And they, you know, at first the disciples didn't understand what's going on. You know, the Gospel of John chapter 12 says, at first his disciples did not understand. Only after Jesus was glorified, they do realize that these things have been written about him. Now, what is it that they were doing? Well, they were doing what in Singapore did it this week. What they are doing, they were be doing in London. They were doing in New York, you know, the red carpet for the Avengers. It's, you know, and I better don't criticize because I was like that with Ultra 7, okay? You know, that's what they were doing. They have the palms, they have the clothes, the garments. They were saying, you know, we want you here. They were welcoming. But what is it that the crowds wanted? That is the point. Verse 37 gives us a clue. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Now, if we read the other gospel, we see that the people coming, they were coming from Galilee, they were coming from Jericho. What is it that they have seen? The feeding of the 5,000? Lazarus is back to life? People being healed? It's good, isn't it? So they said for all the miracles they had seen. But there is something very important here. The word, the whole crowd, means it was multitude. Now, 30 years later, a Roman governor, he has a census to find out how many lambs. You know, there were all these pilgrims were coming to worship in the temple. So this Roman governor took a census of the number of lambs that was slain in Jerusalem during this week. You know what they found out? They found out that it was close to 250,000 lambs. Now, Jewish law states that there must be a minimum of 10 people for each lamb slain. So if we do the math, it's going to be 2.5 million people. So when Jesus was there, it's about 2 million people there. And Jesus wanted all these people to receive a message. But these people, they were coming singing Psalm 113, 114, 115, 118. And they will be singing, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Wait a minute. If you check the psalm we read this morning and the book of Mark that we read to the children, it said, blessed is he who comes in the names of the Lord. What the crowds wanted, they wanted a king. They wanted somebody to crush the Romans, to be in charge. They wanted to feel important. And then there were other people there, the religious leaders. Oh, they wanted to kill Jesus. They wanted to check what was wrong. And they have a wrong after him again and again. They say, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus says, if they kept quiet, the stones will cry out. Now, what does it mean? Why is it so important for Jesus to be honored on that day? Why is it so important? Well, one scholar put it like this, and I like the way he puts it. He says, the phrase, if this becomes silent, should be understood not as something that may possibly happen, but as something that will inevitably happen. After his entry, Jesus will receive no more praises from the crowd. The next time, the crowd will scream for Jesus is to be crucified. So the crowds become silent. At that point, the stones will cry out, but the stones will not cry out the joyful praises and hosannas, but in affirmation of God's judgment on Israel's wickedness. What is it that Jesus wanted? The crowds wanted power. The crowds wanted to be fed. What is it that Jesus wanted? Let's hear what he says. Shall we read together the verses I read in the beginning? As he approached Jerusalem, Jesus' response revealed the striking difference between the people's expectations of him and his condemnation of him. The contrast between what people anticipated and what they will receive is extreme. They wanted power. Oh, we are the people of Israel. You are doomed, said Jesus. The scenes move from joy to horror. The crowd speaks of peace. Jesus speaks of destruction. They pronounce him of glory. He pronounces of him doom. I'm going to the cross. You are going to hear the gospel. Before Jesus, when he performed a miracle, he said, don't tell who I am. Don't. My hour have not yet come. Don't tell. But this time, this day, this wonderful day, now as he entered into the city, you know, he wants to say something different. But they did not know what day it was. They didn't know. The cross was a fact for eternity. The death of Jesus Christ was not an accidental occurrence. It was not an accidental event. It was planned by God before the earth was even created. Because that was the only way that he can redeem his people. I have to go to the cross. And every single event after his entry is the signs that they can understand, hey, he is the Messiah. He's not just a king. He's not just a nice fellow. He's the Messiah. But they did not understand. You see, when I'm not into that. You know, these people who do try to find out eschatological events and all that. But in the book of Daniel, in chapter 9, you will find a prophecy called Daniel's 70 weeks. And here, Daniel foretells the exact day the Messiah was to enter Jerusalem. And most believe that that day was April 6, AD 33. As I say, I don't know. But it's a prophecy. And now the leaders say, Jesus, rebuke your disciples. They knew what was happening. And Jesus wanted his own people to recognize, and they didn't. And so in this verse it says, if you knew it. If you knew who will bring you, what will bring you peace. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. A savior, not a warrior. A savior, not a kind person. A savior, not a loving person. A savior. And Jesus wept. Why? Because their hearts were far from him. Their hearts, they have the temple. They have the religious ceremony. They have the festival. The hearts were far from him. So Jesus wept. And Jesus, you know, Jesus
wept over Jerusalem because they lost their peace. Jerusalem did not understand what was happening. Hence the importance of studying the Bible. When we study, when we go and obey the Bible, we understand. The religious leaders, they were manipulators. The word wet, the word translated wet, is the strongest word in the Greek language for weeping. It denotes Jesus' agonized sobbing over their superficiality, their hypocrisy, their shallowness, and rejection of him. And the inevitable divine wrath that will follow. It's so sad when people don't know God. You know, when we don't know God, we cannot have peace. It's like we're in disobedience. When I disobeyed my parents, when I was a child, I didn't want to go back home. I was in trouble. You know, but when I was okay and all that, I will enter, you know, even kicking the door. Well, no, not that. You know, but you enter the house, you know, because I know my parents will be happy with me. You know, but when we are wrong before God, we are ashamed and we are sad. Jesus says, if you knew what will bring you peace, a Savior. But it's hidden. Because your heart was not. They were singing Hosanna. And Jesus says, this is exactly, you know, they didn't understand. You know, the days, say Jesus, will come upon you when your enemies will be like embankment against you and encircle you and hang you. And in every side, they will dash you to the, oh, that was horrible, a horrible day. Can you imagine the children? They were, oh, that was horrible, what the Romans did. Why? Because they rejected Jesus Christ. They were proud. You did not recognize the time of God's coming to you. And this is exactly what happened. The wonderful temple, the beautiful temple who took many years to build, was totally destroyed. And we can go and see the walls. See? The Jews were scattered. What Jesus said came true, all because they did not recognize what he wanted. And that's what Jesus wants today. For us to surrender our lives to him. And he wants to change me and change you. He wants to change our society. You know, what happened to Jerusalem will happen to any nation, will happen to any city, to any church, to any individual who refuses to find shelter in Jesus. Hosanna means save me. It doesn't mean, Lord, make me a nice person. A kind person. Save me. Because when I know Jesus, he changed my heart. Now, what is the application for us as I conclude? It's 2,000 years after, more than 2,000 years. What is the conclusion? Well, what do you want? And what will you do? First of all, who do you think Jesus is? You don't have to answer. Who do you think Jesus is? And what do you think he wants? Is he, like many people say, a good teacher or a prophet, but he claimed to be God? Some people say, well, he's a nice, and I love it. I better don't say that he is God because I'm going to upset other people. Is that what you think? Fair enough. Do you think Jesus will be happy with that? If you only knew. Let's be honest. Let's not be hard on these hearts, on these people. If Jesus is coming today to Bangor, wow, to Manchester, to Liverpool, to London, and then we go like the Avengers are going to the different cities. It's the premiere, and you got the tickets, and you go there. And you want to be first. I'm going to pay anything. You know, you go there, and you are happy. Let me tell you something. By the end of the week, we are going to crucify him. We are going to crucify him. I include myself. I'm going to crucify him. You know what? Because the kingdom Jesus came to establish still threatens the kingdoms we have in this world. Greed. We want power. We want lust. We want to be in control of our lives. You know, I hear some people, this is my Jesus. This is the way I believe. That is their kingdom. So we crucify Jesus. And you know what? If the kingdom is in you, in my life. And who amongst us want to surrender? That's what Jesus said. If you even knew, I want you to surrender my life. I want to change your life. Answer that question. Do you know Jesus? And finally, second, are you waiting for his second entry? Oh, the second entry is coming, my friend. Do you believe that? Could be tonight. How he's going to find us? Having many figs or unripe figs? How Jesus is going to find his church? How he's going to find you and me? Nobody knows when he's coming. The Bible only says, be prepared. So when we fail, okay, let's ask forgiveness. Let's put things right. When we disobey, go and ask forgiveness to Jesus. And I'm going to present you what Revelation 19 says about his second coming. This is what you have been singing today. This is Jesus coming back, not in a donkey, riding a donkey, but this is Jesus. And we are going to be waiting for him. Are you ready? Shall we read together these verses from Revelation before we finish? It says, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. What a wonderful, isn't it? Now, let's continue. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has his name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Are you waiting for this? This is Jesus. He's coming back. Are you ready? I will suggest that the first time he wanted to change people, and he wants to change us. We are under grace. We still can repent. We still can come to him and say, Hosanna, save me. Do you feel that you cannot change? Let me tell you something. The Lord can change your life. Some people have excuses. I was born like this and I cannot help it. No, you can. And the moment you surrender, Jesus is going to change your life and you're going to be ready for his second coming. My friends, in his first entry, he wept over the city, and I often wonder if Jesus weeps over us. Do you wonder at the tears of Jesus while all the people shouted hosannas? Jesus saw and knew things that the excited crowd knew nothing about. And perhaps today, on this Palm Sunday in Bangor 2019, when we joyfully proclaim Jesus King, he weeps. And he weeps because today, as long ago, there are those who refuse his love. There are those who refuse to surrender their lives. They are missing the opportunity. Are you missing the opportunity, you who are listening? He can change you. He can make you new. And you will be ready for his second coming. Is he the king of your life? Because as Jesus approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, if you, even you, have only known on this day what will bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us as a church to crown him with many crowns and be ready for his second coming.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, thank you for the first that day that you entered into Jerusalem. And Father, we want to recognize you as our Savior. Father, forgive us when we have kingdoms in our hearts and we don't want to change. Help us to say, may your will prevail in our lives. Help us to crown you with many crowns, and help us to be ready for your second coming, when we come to judge, when we come to judge the whole world, we will be ready. And we will be saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.